Super progressive. What is good, everybody? We're back with another episode of The Rundown. Another fantastic. I said fantastic. Fantastic.
It's fantastic. Yeah, it is.
Fantastic week at Super Progressive headquarters. Thank you guys so much for the support. I was especially stoked on the support you guys showed Anthony Pappa's Hall of Fame induction last week. Super exciting. Ruben, how are you guys doing?
I'm awesome. The weather in Barranquilla is really cloudy. It's like rain season. So I'm listening to a lot of happy tracks just to get the mood today. And of course, we will always be recommending all this. Also, you can see it in my Instagram feed. I'm always like talking about, listen to this track. It's amazing. So how are you? How are things there in Jersey?
Things are great. Packed with interviews this week. We're so excited for what's coming on on the artist interview front. No gigs this week. Weekend off. I'm still feeling it. I'm still feeling it from John Digweed. Memorial Day weekend this past weekend wasn't like the most relaxing. A lot of partying, a lot of working. So not a lot of sleeping, but all good things.
Oh, good.
And yeah, so this weekend, I'm just going to lay low, continue to work. And
we got a lot of things to edit.
Yeah, we got so much to edit. I'm like thinking about what we have to do after this podcast. I'm like, it's a work day, but let's get into it. Ruben, why don't you introduce us our debate topic this week? Because I'm really excited for it based on, when you proposed to me this idea.
Okay, well, the thing is that, as you know, as everybody knows, I've been a DJ for over 20 years and most of the community here is from the same time listening to all these great DJs. And the question that is always like controversial is like, was music better back then? Or is it better now? And it's like what a great topic, right? Like, how are we going to judge this? Like, what is our perspective per se? Because we have, a production wise idea, or we have a creativity idea. And we have all the people that was, doing these tracks before that are like my gods. So what do you think, Will? What is your perspective?
Well, first of all, if you're listening and you just saw that little timer pop up, that's a new feature I forgot to mention that we're going to be including. So that's the timer for this segment. And my answer to your question is very interesting because I didn't get to live the era of what we consider old music. It's all new to me. This is what I've been thinking about, Ruben. What I think of a great, when I hear a great track from the past, the first thing I say or I think is, wow, this sounds fresh in 2023, right? There's that timelessness to it. But then isn't that being said that the bar has been risen a lot for 2023 for something to sound good? So it's like when an old track sounds like it belongs in this new world of music, isn't that meaning, if that's a compliment or an accomplishment, isn't that saying that this world of music now is at like a higher state than it was before? I'm interested to hear what you have to say because not even on that, but you got to live it. Like I get philosophical about it because realistically, it's all new to me. And for my favorite tracks, I can't hear the difference between something that came out like, maybe because some of the songs are faster in the past. I'll say this. I like high BPM, energetic, progressive house, progressive music. We talk about how this era of music, this is trending towards slower right now. Things have slowed down a little bit. I crave the energy that I find in some of these older sets and tracks. But I know if I search hard enough, you can still find that in 2023. So, I want to turn it back to you because I get philosophical about it because I can just think about it. You lived it, bro. Like, what do you think?
Okay, so first of all, the thing that you're talking about, the BPM, I think that dancing wise, like party wise, like everybody dancing, like the sweet spot for a BPM is 128 BPM. That's a sweet spot. That's where everybody played. Like you began slower, like 124, 126, and pushed it up to a point where you could get like 128 for most of the night. And then when in the late hours, you could go 130 when you push for that techno kind of moment in the set. But yes, sets are a little bit slower. People are getting a little bit over like 124, 126 when they're live. But the thing is, but that's just party wise, right? But in terms of music, everybody doesn't want to sound old, like oh, the music back then was better. It's not that. It's the filters. What do I mean when I say the filters? Nowadays, I can make a track in my computer, right? Like not easy, but let's say that I could do anything, like any four to the floor beat, and put any synth, a bass, and then I could go into one of these distributors, like 1RPM or anything, and just post my track, and my track is going to be there for the world to listen to, right? And maybe you can do like the whole Martin Garrix thing and hit it off, or you can just be nobody. But the thing is that, and this is one of the quotes that I heard once from a very famous director, a movie director, and he said, it's a good thing, but it's also a bad thing because there's so many bad things out there that you just have to like swim in all these bad, let's not say, because that's a subjective kind of perspective, but it's something that are not going to be like as in production wise as good as they were before, or not as creative or as talented as they need to be to sound and really connect in the dance floor or your headphones, because not everybody likes to party. But that being said, the other side of it is that production wise, music today is at a top peak. Not because if you're producing, you're having a clear sound, a digital clear sound, but that is not rich to you. So you start using all these equipment, be it physical or in plugins that'll emulate that old sound, but it has a clarity. There are techniques today that make it sound bigger, broader, louder. And in comparison to the tracks of before, the low end is not so good. And these are the type of things that we touched upon with Chris Scott, that he said, okay, so the top end is not so bright. And these kind of things do make a difference how you perceive music. So the filters that I said were, okay, so you had, not only you produced it, but you had to take it to a scouting guy from a record label, and then the head of the record label would say, so it was like all these filters, like everybody, the guy that will help you, the studio, it's like it had to be like a whole production, and that isn't needed today. So those filters, I think that really qualified what was amazing.
Yeah, and it reminds me of my first ever interview. Paul Oakenfold explained how there was a series. It's exactly what you're saying. There were different levels of quality control. It goes from the producer to getting signed to a record label, to the record label getting that record distributed to different places. The record gets distributed. It then has to go through the record buyer at the record shop. And then the record buyer has to recommend it to the clubber. And then the clubber has to decide to spend their money, and these cost a lot of money to purchase that track. So you had to be coming out with fire. So I think it's safe to say that the percentage of good music versus bad music was more favorable in the analog era. Because I understand there's always going to be bad music out there.
Yeah, totally.
But it seems like to me that where it almost feels like 1% gold, 99% like lost in the sauce of today.
No, totally.
Back then, it may have been more like 25-75 or 46. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Yeah, tracks like now that you say Oki, it's like tracks like Bullet in the Gun. I mean, that guy tried and tested that track for a minimum of 6-7 months before he took it to a label. And he already had, like, everybody in Korea was going to buy it because everybody went crazy and the track went global. A track today, like you said, like Ruda Silva, a track today, like Touch Me, would just flow under the radar. Nobody would listen to it.
Yeah, I bet.
Not because it's not good. It's because there's a whole sea of things that are trying to scream at you at the same time. So the things that are amazing are really just passing under the bridge. It's like we were discussing with one of our guests these days. It's like in 2 weeks, gone. Like it's forgotten. In not even 2 weeks, like 1 week, gone. Like how many tracks from 2022 can you say today that are going to be classics? I've heard them and I listened to them, like the one that I'm going to recommend today. But is it getting that boom kind of sense? Like a track like Music Is the Answer, Danny Tenaglia. Like Danny is a god, and he's in another level. Like how much was it going to resonate today, right? And how difficult it was to make it that at that point. So I'm kind of like the old guy, like, music was better.
I
think it's that.
Yeah, but the other part of this though is you ask. I think if you were to ask any producer, would you rather produce a track in 1993 or 2003 or 2023? All of them feel like they have the potential to be their most, like, speaking about the truly gifted artists. They have an opportunity to be as creative as possible today. So when you're,
totally.
It's like, it's this weird paradox where it's like, I don't want to let the shitty stuff get in the way of recognizing how great some things really are today. These artists, like, unleashing their full creative capabilities with all this tech. Like, so yeah, I don't know. All I do know is that it's harder and harder to find really good music on your own. We don't have record buyers. Up, time's up. It's getting harder and harder to find good music today, but it's out there. And that's why I'm so grateful for these DJs that do these weekly podcasts, like Hernan, like John, that like literally at least give me the smallest sense of direction in terms of wading through everything. So thank you guys. Next.
Me too. Yeah. I get your thanks.
So yeah. Next topic. We went a little overtime on the debate. So we'll jump right to the Hall of Fame. It is no secret that one of my all-time favorite mixes is James Holden's Balance 005 mix. But that's not what we're here to induct today. What simply happened was that mix put this track into my life for the first time. And that track, Ruben, why don't you announce it?
Dude, it's PQM's You Are Sleeping, the Luke Shape remix. I remember the first time that I heard that track.
Dude, share the story.
Dude, there's like a imagine like a kind of Miami kind of thing in a town near Barranquilla that is called Santa Marta. And I was coming back to Barranquilla from playing a gig and somebody threw in a mix CD and it was Oscar G's Club Space. Really cool CD. So this guy plays that track and I'm just like looking at everybody around me like, are you listening to this shit? Just like the whole bass and that those transitions and like, but it's because it's very haunting. But the piano thing makes it like a lullaby, like a haunting lullaby. Like, and then the voice goes in with this horrible kind of nightmare situation that goes with this lullaby kind of thing and this haunting bass line. It's like, dude, I'm going deep underground in this car. I'm like, I gotta play this track. This thing resonates with everybody. Luke gave it that twist, that lullaby kind of kind of melodic thing between the that was the light in this darkness that is this track, like the original track. So that moment when the drop comes in and the synths go on, it's like, dude, yes, thank you. You took me out of this deep thing. It's amazing. Look, I don't know how much it took you, but it's fantastic. Definitely worth it.
I'm just going to leave it at that. I could not explain it better than myself. I hear that.
It's kind of like a lullaby, isn't it?
I am just like, let's go. Like, literally, let's go. I don't know if I'll ever hear that track in a club setting because of the fact that it's so many years now.
No scratch, no catch.
And like, and I know that the progressive DJs that I love to go see are very like, you know, you might get a classic as the last track or something like that, but they're not going to like throw these things out like biscuits, like, you know, like, so if I were to ever hear this track in a club, I would literally die, bro. That's all I'm going to say. Like I could picture so many DJs, and I've had moments where it's like you think you hear it coming in and it's just not even close to that track at the end of the day, but it's like engraved in my mind and it's something I'm always wish I could hear. But
no, it just has such a groove, and it's like a downbeat, like, and it's so continuing, it just keeps you in this kind of hypnotic kind of groove and this melody, this piano lullaby kind of thing, and this no scratch, no catch.
And then you play it for your friends and they're like, are you a psycho?
Psychotic.
They hear the spoken word poetry. I'm gonna put in the description a link to a comment that someone left that like outlines the whole, it's either an article or a comment that outlines the whole history behind the spoken word poem, where it all comes from. I'll put that in the description of this video.
Nice. Very, very good.
He's literally my favorite producer. I'll just say it. Like, dude, it's ever.
So much talent. It's like I told you, I've always told you, well, it's a dream come true for me to be part of Super Progressive. It's like, dude, it's.
I was literally born to listen to Luke Chable music. Like, I feel like I do it so well. I literally enjoy it every time. I bring my A game and I just sit there and I'm like, oh my God. I need to hunt down the Luke Chable appreciation mix from Sasha on Essential Mix when he only mixed. I don't think it was Essential Mix, maybe it was Kiss 100, but he only mixed Luke Chable tracks in a mix that he did. I need to find that.
We can search SoundCloud or YouTube and they'll always help, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Or anybody of any of our community, if you guys have it, post it, upload it, anything over here in the comments, as always, you know that we want to know everything that you like, dislike, and want to share with us. So please do that. We're always aching for more music, man. It's always like that. So in the topic of more music, it's time for the recommendations of the week. Yes.
Definitely. So I have a set this week. Ruben has a track. I am showing love to Anthony Pappa's most recent set that he just uploaded to Mixcloud. It was so dope to see. It's like, I felt like our induction with him coincided literally the day of with this mix coming out. So it was just nothing but love. Anthony is so technical. I want Anthony to do a weekly, like he's one of the few, not one of the few. He's a DJ. If he had a mix series called Technicalities and it was just him doing the most complex mixes, technical mixes in between tracks, I would listen every week. Like this guy is God level technician as a mixer. And
totally. So
even him doing this live, he did this live, bro. Like you, it's just so on point. It sounds like we had this debate last week. It sounds like a studio, but it's live. It's just like, so do yourselves a favor. I put the link to his Mixcloud in the comments. It's just a great current mix from an absolute living legend. So I hope you guys enjoy.
know, it's always Anthony, dude. It's like, what else can we say about Anthony's talent? And it's just amazing. He's always bringing the A game and just kicking ass, and taking names, man. It's it's just, and you know that from the first day that we talked, like I will always demand from an amazing DJ not only the talent to search for those amazing tracks, but the technicality to make it seamless as possible for me to enjoy the journey. Everything has to go hand in hand because it's a story. It has to be that A game level. So my turn, the recommended track. The first time that I heard this track, it was just like one of those instant classic moments. I immediately knew that this track just had to belong in this podium of amazing tracks for a lifetime. It's one of those tracks that just doesn't come along easily or commonly. It's the guys from 3D, Darren Emerson, Dave Seam, and Danny Howells. It's like, what kind of fucking holy trinity is that? I mean, my God. These guys with the house music legend vocal of Robert Owens for Celador Records. The track is called Known Love. It just transports me back to that 90s, 2000 sound, that classic house sound. And I love what this is. Celador is doing this. And I think that Bedrock is also doing this. They're going back to that house root, to that kind of like Detroit techno basis. And this track just has that bass line. And Robert Owens' vocals are just as clear and beautiful as yesteryear. It's amazing. I can only imagine these three legends in the studio just blurbing out like an anthem of their love for these classic house tracks, because it doesn't sound specifically like they play each one individually, but it sounds like the kind of track that you want to dream with making one day. That's the one. Listen to that. The link is down. Like it, buy it, stream it. Do everything that you have to do with it because it's amazing. And also listen to it in my podcast and linear because I finished the last set with it. It's just one of those tracks that just breaks your heart. It just goes that way with a smile.
I love how you said it. It's like the track everyone dreams of making. No matter what your sound is, it's just like that soulful,
dude, hey, that soulful
track.
Totally. Totally. Your heart just goes.
Dude, and the fact that like that kind of track is not what comes to mind when I think of like a Dave Seaman track or a Darren Emerson track. I know like...
Or a Danny Howell.
Danny, like, yeah, it's like... But they came together to do this ode to something classic.
But at the same time, it just sounds so good. But at the same time, you know that it's a track that they would play in their sets because it's that fucking good. It's like, dude... Man, it's
baller, amazing. Baller decision. Baller Celador, choice, Ruben.
Celador, man. Dude, you're doing it. Awesome. Awesome. Keep on doing it, man.
We're getting good at this rundown, bro. Under 25 minutes. We're trying to keep it quick for you guys to give you your weekly dose of progressive house. Just progressive house anything. Because, you know, the YouTube comments, like those have been great coming from you guys. The Instagram comments, but there's never enough to talk about. So thank you guys for all the support you've shown us. Continue the conversations, continue the discussions in the comments, and always love to hear from you guys in the DMs. Thanks so much for all the support. Ruben, any messages before we sign off?
Yeah, guys, remember, comment, share, like, hit the bell, follow us on our other social medias. Oh, we got Twitter now. It's super progressive.
Yeah, we got a Twitter.
Yeah, we got Twitter now. We're going to put the link over there for you guys to also share and comment a lot with us. We want to get into the Twitter world, that underground Twitter world. And as always, guys, stay true, stay progressive.
Have a great week, everyone. We will see you soon.